I'm going to ask you to take your Bibles and turn with me to the book of Genesis, chapter 43. Genesis 43. I've entitled this message this evening, Bringing God's People Home. This beautiful story of the Lord's provision for His own through a man of God's choosing, a man named Joseph. Now, Joseph's daddy, name was Jacob, the one that God loved. And Jacob's sons have left Canaan. They went to Canaan the first time to get some corn. It was a famine in the land. It was sore in the land. And they've traveled back. Now they're going back to Canaan because the food is running low, and they're going back to Egypt to secure, buy some more corn, and hopefully have their brother Simeon released. Joseph has kept him in prison, kept him there as a surety that they'd come back. And the boys now have left Canaan. Their daddy has told them to bring a present, get some balm, some gum out of a tree, sweet smelling. Get some spices, get some honey, get some nuts. Bring them a little gift. And they've taken this present to give to the man before whom they must stand, Joseph, their brother that they don't know. But now they have Benjamin with them. In verse 15, we looked last time, and it says they took that present, they took double money in their hand, and Benjamin rose up, went down to Egypt, and stood before Joseph. Now, they've presented themselves before the face of Joseph, apparently without any interaction. There's no mention that any words were exchanged between them and Joseph at this time. And the scripture says now, beginning where we left off in verse 16, when Joseph saw Benjamin with them, he said to the ruler of his house, bring these men home and slay and make ready, for these men shall dine with me at noon. Now, with the revelation of Joseph's view of his brothers, now he longs to be with them. These are his family. These are his brothers, and he knows them, and he loves them, and he wants to feast with them. He tells his ruler, steward. Verse 19 says it was the steward of Joseph's house. So he's looking out into this crowd. These people have all gathered, and they've got to come see Joseph. Joseph is the dispenser of all the food. Joseph is a beautiful picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Joseph, in that mass of people that's there, you can just imagine, if everybody in that part of the country, everybody in that part of the world, there's only food in Egypt. And if you're going to get some food, you got to come see Joseph. And Joseph's in one spot. He's a man. But Joseph looks out and he sees his brothers. He sees Benjamin. I think of the Lord's people. How long do you think that the Lord Jesus Christ, in the mass of humanity, all these people there in that place, one place, all of them there, they got to see Joseph. All of them got to see Joseph. So they're all there. But he sees his brothers in particular. These brothers that must have been standing out in the midst of many of that day. But let me ask you this. As Joseph is a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ, how long do you think that the Lord Jesus has seen his people? How long do you think he's seen them? He saw his people eternally chosen in him before the foundation of the world. He says of his people, Jeremiah, he said, I've loved you with an everlasting love. I've always known you. I've always seen you. He's always beheld his people being chosen by the Father in him. He has seen his people in the fall. He saw them in Adam. In Adam's loins, we were all found in Adam, and we fell in Adam, and the Lord Jesus Christ has ever seen his people. They fell in Adam, but never from his side of affection. Never from him. He's always known us, saw us in that unregenerate state when we came forth from our mother's womb, speaking lies. He saw us walking according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit, the scripture says, that now worketh in the children of disobedience, lovingly viewing us right up till that time of love and our effectual calling. Paul said, when it pleased the Lord, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace to reveal Christ in me. Joseph looked and he saw in that mass of people that was there to see him, to buy some corn, he saw his brothers. And he says to his ruler of his house, when Joseph saw Benjamin with them, he said to the ruler of his house, bring these men home and slay and make ready, for these men shall dine with me at noon. Beloved, rest assured, there's never been a time that the Lord has not looked upon his people in affection and love and desire. The scripture says his delights was with the sons of men, with his people, his beloved bride. He saw them. Well, this steward now is instructed to bring Joseph's brothers. That's what he said. Verse 16, when Joseph saw Benjamin with them, he said to the ruler of his house, bring these men home. This steward had some preparation that was going to have to be made before these men could be brought home. Joseph instructed him, you bring these men to my house. You bring them to me. You slay. And you make ready everything that is required for these men to stand before me and dine with me. He gave that steward the responsibility for preparing a meal, for bringing them home. Sacrifice was going to have to take place. Everything was going to have to be made ready for Joseph to dine with his family at that appointed time. Do you know we're on a destination. We're going somewhere. Where are people going? Where is God's people going? They're going home. They're going to Joseph's house, the heavenly Joseph. They're going to the abode of the Lord Jesus Christ. He said in John 17:24, Father, I will that those that you've given me be with me where I am, that they might behold my glory. So this steward, verse 17, said, and the man did as Joseph bade, and the man brought the men into Joseph's house. Now, looking past the historical events with an eye of faith, let's look upon these things and behold them as the glorious work of the Father of God, glorious work of God, Father, Son, and Spirit, one God, powerfully directing the lives of His people by His Spirit. Those that are led by the Spirit, they're the sons of God. This steward right here is a picture of the Holy Spirit. And he's been given the responsibility. You bring these men home. You bring these, my brothers. You bring my family. You bring my family to me. And here's the Spirit of God that found in type in that steward. Everything needful for peace and acceptance with God, ordained by the Father in electing grace. All things that were finished by the work of the Lord Jesus Christ in redeeming grace, and all that would be applied to the people of God in regenerating grace. God Almighty, it is God that worketh in you to will and to do of His good pleasure. Why? We're going to be at a feast. Remember that parable about that there was a father and he made a feast for his son, and they saw one there that didn't have on a wedding garment. You know that story. We're going to dine at the marriage supper of the Lamb. You bring these men to my house. You bring them to my home. Slay. All that is going to be required is going to have to be a sacrifice made. The Lord Jesus Christ is going to have to lay down His life. And God, the Spirit of Christ, the Spirit of God is the Spirit of Christ. And He's directing, He's ordering all things, everything in this world, for one purpose, for the redemption, salvation, and eternal glory with Him of His people. You bring my people home. Now here's Joseph again. Beautiful picture of the Lord Jesus and His brothers. Types of His family, His sheep. And this steward, again, type of the Spirit of God who renders effectually the whole of God's purpose of redemption in the hearts of His people. And this steward, missioned by Joseph to bring a particular group to him, ordering their steps. Isn't it amazing how you see how Joseph he'd tell his brothers, they didn't know him, how's your daddy doing? Is your daddy well? Yeah, you got another brother? Yeah, we do. He just having the power and the ability to order their steps. He told him, he knew they're going to have to come back and get some more food. He said, now don't come back without your brother. Oh, in the following chapters, we're going to see how he's going to bring his daddy, bring all of them to him. He's going to put them in the land of Goshen, best part of the Egyptian Empire, right there in Goshen. But here he is. He tells this steward, you bring these men home and slay, make ready, make these men. These men are going to dine with me. Oh, how beautifully are the words of our Lord in John 6, 37. I've quoted this so many times, I'm going to just look at it if you'd like to. John 6, 37. You bring these men home. That's what he said. And the Lord said in John 6, 37, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me. And him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. Let me ask you this. You think all of these things that had been done to Joseph by his brother, by his brothers, sold him out, cast him into a pit, wanted to kill him, but Reuben stood up and said, don't kill him, we'll sell him. Let's just sell him. Sold to Potiphar, all he went through, put in jail, prison for years, forgotten by that baker. And here they are. Here he is. And here's his brothers. And he loves them. He loves them. He wants to be with them. Oh, the beauty of Christ's love. I will never, never, never leave you. I'm not going to forsake you. When we forsake him, he never forsakes us. Well, here's the steward's been told, and he's brought all of them. How many is there? He's got 10 of them. Got 10 of them. He's 11, and Simeon, his brother's 12th. They're all getting ready to get together. Even though they don't know him. They don't know who he is, but all 12 of them's together. That's the will of the Lord. John chapter 6, the scripture says in verse 38 to 40, "For I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will, which has sent me, that of all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. And this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone that seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day." So here they are. They're all together. They don't recognize him. They don't recognize him just yet. But they're all together. That's his will. And the scripture says that after they, verse 17, the man did as Joseph bade, and the man brought the men into Joseph's house. But then it says, and the men were afraid because they were brought into Joseph's house. And they said, because of the money that was returned in our sacks at the first time we brought in, that he may seek occasion to against us and fall upon us, take us for bondmen and our asses. These men they're scared. They're fearful. These men, they're men. They're men. Men who bear the marks of the fall. They feel some guilt. They remember. It's what they said right here. I know why we're here. When we first time we came and bought some corn, we all got back, and the money, all of our money, was in our sacks. That's why he's gonna find occasion against us. They remembered that the money for the corn that they had bought and paid, they paid it, and from that first purchase, they remembered how harshly that Joseph spoke to them. Now what must they expect? I mean, he talked hard to us, rough to us the first time, and we'd paid for it then. Now what's going to happen? Now we're here in his house, and we found the money. All the offense was not against somebody in Egypt that was just a nobody. It wasn't against somebody that was obscure of importance, but rather this offense was against the one who had power and had authority to do as he would with them, and they knew it. We're not just coming up to a pauper on the street. We're going to have to face that man that has been given all authority by Pharaoh. A picture of the power that had been given of the God-man mediator, the Lord Jesus Christ, over all flesh. That's who we're going to have to stand before. And these men were fearful. What is he going to do to us? They were ignorant. They were ignorant of the money being there when they left Egypt, but the offense was still there. What does the Spirit of God do when he's going to show mercy? What does the Spirit of God do when he's going to show mercy to a vessel of God's compassion and love? What does he do? He convinces them of sin. He shows them what they are. But you said, but these men, they were innocent. No. No, they weren't innocent. I want you to turn with me to Leviticus 5. Leviticus chapter 5. And I want you to behold something that was amazing. One of the sacrifices, one of the offerings that had to be offered in the Old Testament, in the tabernacle, in the wilderness, was a trespass offering. And you know what that trespass offering was for? The sin of ignorance. Ignorance. Who in this congregation this morning or tonight feels as though that they're quite aware of every offense that they've committed against God today? You're quite aware of every one of them. Be careful. We don't know. The sin of commission, but how about the sin of omission? That which I should have done and I didn't do. Leviticus chapter 5 and verses 14 to 16. Leviticus 5, 14. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, if a soul commit a trespass, a sin, and sin through ignorance in the holy things of the Lord, then he shall bring for his trespass unto the Lord a ram without blemish out of the flocks, with thy estimation by shekels of silver after the shekel of the sanctuary for a trespass offering. And he shall make amends for the harm that he hath done in the holy thing. The amends of the thing that he's done? Yeah. What did he do? He didn't even know. He didn't know he did it. But the scripture says he's going to make amends for the harm that he hath done in the holy thing, and shall add fifth part thereto and give it unto the priest, and the priest shall make an atonement for him with a ram of the trespass offering, and it shall be forgiven him. Beloved, we're guilty of not only what we know we did, but we're guilty of what we didn't know we did. We don't realize what we've done. We don't realize the sin. And the Spirit of God convinces us of that. And here this steward has brought these men into the house of Joseph, and they're afraid. Tell him, we didn't know we did it. And they start confessing that. Look what happens in verse 19 to 22. They're talking among themselves in verse 18. Verses 19 to 22, listen to this. They came near to the steward of Joseph's house, and they communed with him at the door of the house. They didn't even go in. We're going to go ahead and let's get this thing out in the open right now. They ain't even stepped foot yet into the house, into the interior. We're going to go ahead and let's get it out. The scripture says they came near to the steward, Joseph's house. They communed with him at the door of the house and said, oh, sir, we came indeed down the first time to buy food. It came to pass when we came to the inn that we opened our sacks, and behold, every man's money was in the mouth of his sack, our money full weight. We brought it again in our hand, and other money we have brought down in our hands to buy food. We cannot tell who put the money in our sacks. Do you know what a blessing it is that a sinner, made so by the grace of God to know what he is, would be honest and confess what he's done, and confess what he didn't know he's done. That's what David said in Psalm 51. Have mercy upon me, O God. Against thee and thee only have I sinned in thy sight. Oh, to be made honest before God. Here's what they were saying to the steward. And here's a picture of us praying, being helped. Here was this steward, picture of God's Spirit. Quite aware, these men need some help. The scripture says the Spirit helpeth thy infirmities, because we don't know what to pray for. Here's what they were saying. We don't know how this happened. We're just being honest with you. We don't know how this happened. We never intentionally meant to deceive you or your master. We didn't mean to steal from you. We've got the money that we paid last time. We brought it back, and we've got more money to pay for the new passage, purchase. Oh, how thankful we ought to be that the Lord gives any of us a heart to confess what we are. Scripture says in 1 John 1, is it needful that we confess our sins? The debt of our sins has been paid in full by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's no condemnation to them that be in Christ Jesus. But sin, the presence of it, is with us. The debt of it's been paid. But I'm telling you, it's with us. And it's going to be with us. That old man, that body of death. And we constantly need to confess. 1 John 1:8-9. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Beloved, be honest with God. He knows. We're not hiding anything. Well, maybe if I just don't bring that up, maybe he won't think about it. He knows. He knows. Bear your heart. Bear your heart to him. These men were scared and they needed assurance. And they need some comfort. They need some comfort. And that steward was the one to comfort them. We need comfort, don't we? I want you to turn to Romans 8. Romans chapter 8. Romans 8. 14-16. As many are led by the Spirit of God, they're the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear. They were afraid. But you've received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself bear it witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. These men just laid their heart out, confessed. We're ignorant. We didn't know what happened. We didn't mean to. We know it happened, and we're sorry. Scripture says in Genesis 43:23, and he said, that is the steward, peace be to you. Fear not. Your God, the God of your father, hath given you treasure in your sacks. I had your money, and he brought Simeon out unto them. Needy sinners, we need and have, by the grace of God, consolation with the Lord. John 14, verse 15-17. John 14, verse 15. The Lord said, if you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but you know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. And look at verse 26-27. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I've said unto you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled. Let it not be afraid. What did that steward say to him in verse 23? Peace be to you. Don't be afraid. Fear not. Your God, God of your Father, covenant God, God of all grace, peace be unto you. He hath given you treasure in your sacks. Oh, do we see all things being made ready. He's preparing that. He's going to have to prepare a sacrifice. He's going to set forth that the peace that has been established by God's people is through the blood, shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. He told him, he said, I had your money. I gave it back to you. What did he just say? You don't owe anything to dine with Joseph. You can't pay. He's paid it. Joseph paid this. Joseph paid for this. Joseph has provided all for you. Peace be unto you. I had your money. Beloved, peace with God is bought without money, without price. By grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's the gift of God. The steward testified of Joseph's kindness. This steward, he was the steward of Joseph's house. And whatever Joseph said, that's what the steward did. Whatever Joseph's commandment, that was the order of the steward. That was his direction. That was his order. That was his. And he was not speaking on his own. Peace was found toward those men, love, because of Joseph's revelation of that. He was Joseph's steward. So he testified of kindness toward them. Look at John 15, 26. Should have just had you just stay right there in John 15. John 15, 26. The Lord says, John 15, 26, when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me. Those weren't the words of the steward. If Joseph was wroth with those men, the steward would be in agreement with Joseph. Whatever Joseph said. If peace was spoken to these men, it's because Joseph spoke peace to those men. These brothers, they heard of distinguishing mercy. Joseph is going to dine with you. What about all those other people out there? Joseph was going to dine with you. Joseph told me to bring you to his house. So here they beheld the distinguishing grace that was shown to them by Joseph, a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. And they also beheld the surety of relief from the bondage of prison, or a picture of sin itself when Simeon was brought out. And they were taught. Are we not taught by the Spirit of God, concerning God's mercy in Christ? John 16, 13 says, howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he's going to guide you into all truth. You realize the joy of that steward to relate to these brothers. Joseph's pleasure to them. Let me tell you, Joseph's going to eat with you today. Joseph's going to dine with you today. In verse 24, back, and I'll stop in this verse. And the man brought the men into Joseph's house, gave them water, and they washed their feet, and he made their asses provender. These brothers did not as yet realize the fullness of the mercy that had been shown. They didn't realize the fullness of it. If they would have realized at this point right here who they were standing before, getting ready to stand before, if they would have realized how much they had truly offended him or acted in an offensive way toward him, if they would have realized who he was, they would have probably realized a whole lot more the mercy that has been shown them. But do we not see through a glass darkly now? Do we realize the fullness of the mercy that Almighty God has shown us? No, sir. No, sir. No, sir. How much do we owe? Oh, how much we owe. How much mercy. They didn't realize who he was or what had been done for them. But the scripture says that they were provided some water, washed their feet. Even in their ignorance, Water was brought to them. I thought about that water to wash their feet, provisions for their animals. But, oh, what a beautiful type of the daily cleansing. Last scripture right here, Ephesians chapter 5. What a wonderful, wonderful provision of God's mercy has been given unto us. Ephesians 5:20. I'm going to read verse 25. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. Do you realize what's taking place right now as we hear these scriptures, as we behold the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ to unworthy sinners such as we? How the word of God is providentially blessed to the hearts of God's people, and the sin that we've committed and the ignorance of that which we didn't realize we committed, that he washes us. Mercy. I've shown mercy unto you. I've shown grace unto you. As I said a moment ago, no condemnation to you. Oh, the blessing of these men, and they didn't even know him yet. I can't hardly wait to get to that part when he tells him, he says, I'm your brother. I'm your brother. I pray God bless this to our hearts for Christ's sake.